Call meeting order. We started a little late. I was hoping that Vin could make it, but I just got a text from her saying that she's caught in a meeting, so she wanted to start without her. Already very good. We'll start the call meeting order. We have all the members here except for Lynn Eckert, right? Myself, Heidi Ames, Julius Collins, James Alon. Lynn Eckert is here, Mary Warrow is here, and Brian Walton, Lynn Eckert, is not here, rather, I'm sorry. All righty, I entertain a motion to accept minutes from the September 10th.
I'll second.
Okay, first and second, all those in...
Aye.
Okay, we're good.
Aye.
Aye. All right, the president has a number of things he was doing tonight, and I told him, you know, due to the fact that we were dealing with, you know, a few members, I said you don't need to necessarily attend. And so we sent a letter saying basically that the enrollment is where it's supposed to be, where it wants to be. So the budget is, seems to be fine, and he's got a great turnout for the gala that they're having. And I think the gala is tomorrow night. All right, so we do have one resolution, I believe, right? Yes. So I think maybe we could take care of the resolution and then we'll take care of the people here. Confirming appointment of member to the Ulster County Community College Board of Trustees. It is a county appointment, and it is Deborah Briggs. You have copies of her resume. Deborah has worked at the Ellenville Hospital for a very long time, and she's actually an excellent candidate for this.
Yes.
You know her?
Yes,
I do also know her. So I think she would be a great addition because she's also done a lot of fundraising. So you want to make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
And I'll second it. How's that? Alrighty. Any questions on the appointment? No. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Alrighty. Very good. Thank you. All right, we can start with Arts Mid-Hudson. And go ahead.
Greetings. I just want to report back that we had a very
successful... Introduce yourself for everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Linda Marston-Reed, and I'm the Executive Director of Arts Mid-Hudson. And I'm very excited to be here. We always are... I think when I write this proposal up, that's when we realize, making things happen in Ulster County, connecting communities together, bringing open studio today, and they go, oh, I didn't know that person. I guess you go down the street to meet a neighbor that gets a living making things, whether it's sculptural pieces, paintings, or as a musician. So we're very proud of that. We're getting surveys back from the artists. We always send a survey out saying, how did it go? Did you get a good amount of people in? What kind of successes or what would you change next year? Several artists reported that they sold enough work to keep their studios going, you know, for a year. Two people received commissions from people coming from out of town to make things, a furniture maker and a painter. And two people were also invited to exhibit their work outside of the year. So this is all really good. We want to make sure that we keep the artists and the arts organizations here. It can be a tough business to be in, but communities that have the arts and a vibrant arts scene can do really well. So we're all about making that happen. One of the things that I'm really excited about is next year, through a lot of work in Ulster County and in Kingston, we hear a lot about people wishing that we had like a brick and mortar space or an office where they could go in during set hours. And we, next year we are going to be opening that space up here in Ulster County in Kingston, in Midtown. It's going to be part of the Cornell Creative Arts Center, which used to be the old ARC Ulster building that's it's a huge building. It's like 10,000 square feet. It's been pretty much laying fallow for quite a long time. And they decided to repurpose the space because they saw the arts growing across actually for Ulster County and especially in Midtown Kingston. So as soon as that space is ready to move into and they get the occupancy permit, we are going to be in there. I'm really excited about that. It's kind of like, it's been one of the focus that we've had for years, and it's, you know, they're giving us a little break on the rent. We'll have a lease for an office that's about half as big as this, but we'll have use of a very large common room, which has chairs, tables. We can hold workshops there, presentations, and we'll have that use. So it's going to be a huge boom for everybody in Ulster County. They won't have to travel. We try to be here as much as we can, and we use like a lot of the public spaces like libraries, coffee shops, and have, you know, we'll go in there and meet with people. But this will at least give us a space where people can come in and always have somebody that they can talk to about their work during the 6 hours.
I think, I don't know if you know how we used to give the money out to the arts.
I might have explained it before you went.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. All right. Can you tell me what's the breakdown now of who you give for existing ones where they've gotten it before and the ones that, you know, because for a while we only wanted it for those that were building?
Yes. So I gave you this information, but I can look at this, and a lot of the organizations, there's a new one on here. For instance, TransArt put together an exhibit. The Midtown Arts District is new, and they are acting as a fiscal sponsor for another organization. And they are going to put on Made in Kingston this year, which is always the first week of December, as well as redesigning their website. So, you know, the funding was supposed to go towards capacity building for organizations, as well as a small amount for program. So, I think we figured out it's 25%
for those. So, it was about, I think, 75% for capacity building, wasn't it? That's what I thought. I wasn't sure. I didn't remember what the exact percentage was because we used to have it only for capacity building. And then.
And you know what's interesting is we came to the legislature and asked for that because so many people said, I can't use the money for capacity building. I need it for programming. And then the very next year, we hardly got any programming requests. So go figure. You know, we're just trying to figure out that people get served the way they are.
Any questions? Now you're requesting, where are we? You requested, I think, 12?
I am requesting more this year, a little more for admin and a little more of essentially a 7.8% increase in the amount of funding that gets passed out directly to the organization.
I didn't hear that last part.
The amount of funding that gets passed out directly to the organizations, I am requesting a 7.8% increase, and the balance of that would be for admin, which is a larger increase. We're trying to help pay for the office and actually get an extra part-time worker that would be dedicated to that space.
I do have one question, actually. I'm sorry, you kind of lost me on the foundation of the Arc of Ulster Green, the new space that you said you'd be moving into.
Yep.
Is that currently the Arc of Ulster Green back off of Broadway?
It's on Cornell Street.
Cornell Street. So are you going to be occupying their pilot, was their pilot workshop area?
Yeah, I think that's what, I'm not familiar with what it used to be called. Yeah, I think it's been shut down for a long time.
Yeah, about
it's
4 years. They lost funding for that. Do you, so you plan to, it's going to be like a display for artists to come together?
The whole space has been redone. Are you familiar
yeah.
with Scott Dutton, who's
yeah.
an architect?
Yeah,
He has come up with a plan, and the Arc of Ulster really liked this plan. And so what it is they're making a few small office spaces. One of those is what we are taking. I think it's 289 square feet.
Oh.
There's quite a number of larger, like there's supposed to be a dance studio in there, a play studio, two or three art studios that will be privately rented by artists, and then there's that large space in the center.
So, and then are you renting it from the Arc of Ulster Green?
We'll be leasing.
Leasing?
Yes.
So basically, that added money would be going to Arc, in a sense.
Yes. It would be, we would have to pay our rent, and we would also be towards workforce to help keep the space open during the business hours.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Now we have us. Anybody has any more questions? Cornell Cooperative Extension.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jared Bona. I'm Executive Director at Cornell Cooperative Extension. Thank you for having me. Thank you for entertaining our request for appropriation for next year. I've requested $416,000. Do you have this?
What was the request again?
The request was $416,000. So this outlines, we have four main program areas, and if I could just sort of tell you what we have on deck for 2019, and then if I could focus, I did ask for an increase in our appropriation for opioids and water-related work, but if I could just go through our four program areas. As you know, agriculture is kind of our core, and always has been. It's been a busy year for ag. We had the drought in the beginning, coupled with a really wet summer, so a lot of pests, a lot of fungus, and just it was a busy summer for our educators and our extension agents. We've started some new things that will continue into 2019, text alerts for farmers, e-alerts. We have new methods of outreach for blogs. The apple industry has been really busy, and for 2019, we're going to start starting a new Master Gardener cycle. We're going to be stepping up a lot of work in climate adaptation and resiliency. That's a big question for farmers, a big question for everybody. Our new farmer training, I just co-led one of the new farmer training workshops, and they're incredibly popular. We had people fly in from different parts of the country who
who have either bought property up here or are looking to buy small farms to join the ag industry and grow, you know, heirloom vegetables or put up hoop houses and start their farms. So in addition to sort of servicing traditional, the large traditional farms, a lot of new farmers coming up from the city and different parts of the country, actually. And we're working with the Hudson Valley Research Laboratory, if you're not familiar. There's sort of a Cornell Grower Association down in Highland. Some faculty members actually sit there from the university and do direct research. We work with them on extension. They're rebuilding their lab, and we're working them on with a sort of a master plan to consider a Taste New York store or a commercial kitchen or other ways. Value addition is a big push for us in 2019 for agriculture. So 4-H and youth development is really the second big piece that the appropriation goes to fund. And 4-H next year, we have about 400 enrolled volunteers this year. We're hoping to increase to 500 or 600 next year. And we're going to do that by, you know, you might be familiar with the 4-H club model where, you know, people can start different clubs. They have to go through a process and a lot of paperwork to start a club. And the clubs are great, and this is what has been around for 100 years. But times are changing, so we're looking at different ways of engaging with people to sort of cast a wider net and offer more services to more youth in the county. So a lighter, leaner version of the 4-H club model we're going to pilot next year so that people can maybe start clubs for finite periods of time around different topics. So something that we'll be meeting the state in here in Ulster. We're going to continue our STEM education in Ellenville and Kingston, even though we're having a hard time funding it. I think we talked about this last year before I came. That's the Tech Wizards program. Really popular, but difficult to fund. And we're expanding our school programs in 4-H. And then I just have environment, health, and communities to go, if you can bear with me. Environment, we've been focused mainly on the Chopin watershed. We're the outreach and implementation group for New York City's Water Supply. We have a wonderful water team that's been working out there for just about a decade, but there's a lot of water in the county, and it's not all in the Chopin, so we are trying to meet the demand for water outreach and education, coordination and technical assistance in other parts of the county. I'm a water person, that's one of the reasons the board brought me on, so that will be a big area of growth for us in 2019. And healthy communities, which used to be family and consumer sciences, it's a bit of a catch-all. Relatives as Parents program is as popular as ever, and we're starting a new branch of it in Ellenville in 2019. This is where we give assistance and sort of respite to caregivers. This is some of our outreach and outreach materials for building awareness for the parents. As Relatives as Parents program, sort of a different way of doing it.
Can't remember her.
You get some star anise that might go in your mulled wine this year. It's that season, I guess. Okay.
So Relatives as Parents is really popular and will continue. The other thing that we did this year that's proven to be popular and actually not even able to meet the demand in the county is the Sober Parenting Journey. This is an evidence-based program that our educators got trained in and started offering here. It's essentially for people who have lost their children or are in jeopardy of losing their children, and the court is referring parents to take this course, and it's a 14-week course. We offer four of them right now in Kingston. We just started in Ellenville, and we're going to be expanding that as well. Nutrition programming, everything's kind of up in the air with the Farm Bill. There's a lot of changes proposed. So far, nothing has actually been decided, so we're monitoring that, but we'll continue the supplemental nutrition and then the SNAP Ed and the other programs that we implement here in the county. You may see the racks on the bus. Some of the buses in the county now have that advertising on. You might see our stuff out there. And then a big new area for the healthy communities is climate change, working with climate smart communities, bringing resources. There's several state committees on climate smart programs on campus that we'll be bringing to the county. That would be the appropriation at the level that you've given us in the past, and we really appreciate it. I'm asking for an additional $66,000 for 2019. This was my rookie season, so I figured I would take it, you know, show you guys what I could do and not ask for an increase. But I have been out talking to community members and stakeholders and really out there meeting people, and two major things have come up that people want us to work on and where I see we can have a huge impact. One of them, of course, is opioids, which the epidemic is terrible, as you guys know. Here's a picture of what we found. Well, my kids and I found behind Stewart's and Hurley when we were sitting at the picnic table. I got two papers here for you. One's on water, one's on opioids. Ulster County is kind of ground zero. We're one of the, in the top 10 most prescribed counties for opioids in the state. As you know, the county is taking health very seriously and has convened the task force on opioids. Half of all autopsies now in Ulster County have opioids or defining opioids in their system. Half. So things are changing so fast, it's really, people haven't been able to keep up with how to address this. So I'm lucky enough to sit on some state panels with Cornell, and it seems this is going on everywhere, that everybody's looking for how they sort of plug into this epidemic. So we are supporting the Department of Health. They, on their task force, they have three committees. We sit on all three committees of that task force, but that's really all I can do until I can get additional funding for people to work on this. The grant cycle hasn't caught up with the epidemic. So I don't want to make any predictions. It might get worse before it gets better because nobody can really bring a whole lot to bear on this yet. Agencies, organizations, governments, municipalities, it's tough. So I think we're really well suited to take something on. We can be nimble with an appropriation. We can start working on the things I've listed here immediately. There's things we don't have, like there's not a map of how someone sort of gets addicted to opioids, moves through the system, interacts with sort of the different agencies and the hospitals, and what that 360 view of the patient looks like, nobody really has. That's something we would put together immediately if we had someone to work on. So there's I think some really good things that we could turn around really quickly and help the county meet its goal, which is reducing opioids deaths in the next 2 years. That was released 6 months ago, so it's probably in the next 18 months, cutting in half the number of opioid-related deaths. And supporting that committee is one of the main things that we would do with this. So the $66,000 I'm asking for, $33,000 of it would go towards an educator who would work on opioids, and the other $33,000 would go for an educator working on water resources. So I don't know how much time I have, so I'm speaking really quickly. The other paper you have is water. And as I mentioned, we have one of the best water teams in the state. We're the implementing partner on what is the premier stream management program, I'll say certainly in the region, if not the world. And New York City pays the communities out here to take good care of the Ashokan watershed so they can avoid building a filtration plant. And it keeps our communities intact, it keeps the mountains looking nice and our streams clean, has all these added benefits. We've been doing that, we're the outreach and education partners on that for almost the last decade. And it's kept us focused on that entirely. It's a big project. But when I came, I sort of hung the shingle out and said, we're going to be working on water elsewhere. It's what the board wants to do. And so, of course, everybody's coming through the door. And it turns out that almost every river in this county has a citizen-led group working on a management campaign. So I've been talking to folks in the county, including the Department of Environment, who'd like to see us come up with some way to standardize how communities do citizen-led campaigns, not to take it over, but to provide coordination and technical support for them. And I think we would be able to work on at least four different rivers starting as early as January for something like this. And I think it would have a huge impact. Water is essential, of course, to the county brand. And things like Saugerties Beach was closed this summer. The walk-in, of course, has algal blooms. The governor put $60 million towards figuring out how we stop algal blooms because they're just expanding across the state. What happens when, you know, nobody can swim in any of the rivers or any of the beaches? It's a huge issue. So we would like to support the county in leading the way in that, and I want a part-time educator who can work on that in 2019. I'm certain I can take those resources and then leverage it to get grants and bring in other resources to bear and really help make Ulster County a leader for water resources like we are for sustainable energy and climate resilience.
Well, that is what you do.
Yeah.
You to use our money to get more money.
Yes.
That's the whole idea of Cornell Cooperative. Already, any questions?
The opioid. Clearly, we all know that this is a major epidemic that's completely swept not only our state but our nation. You said you attend state-level task force.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met with the New York State Senate?
No, not at all, not yet. This is at the sort of the academic, the extension level.
Okay.
So extensions across the country are sort of banding together with the help. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is a big funder for some of these things. Also, there is U.S. Department of Agriculture backing for a lot of opioids work. So I was just made the co-chair of the Opioids Project Work Team, which is kind of...
Through what agency?
Through Cornell.
Through Cornell.
Yeah.
What type of prerequisite would you require for the position that you're seeking to fund?
For the opioids?
Yeah.
That I was thinking MPH, Master's of Public Health, or someone with, not clinical, we don't do clinical, but there's a lot of folks out there with outreach and education in prevention. And reducing demand. So even an education outreach exam.
She's actually CASAC certified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maria Cecilia?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to wrap my brain around Cornell getting involved. We welcome all the help that we can have to battle this. It's
yeah.
a multi-pronged approach to, you know, raising awareness. You know, prevention is key
yeah.
when we're, you know, so I was just curious as to how you plan to tie into this. Did this come through the Department of Health for the county? They're asking for help through your agency?
No, but I've been coordinating with them. This actually, Vin and Dr. Smith have seen this
Vin
request
Marcello.
And I've been talking to them. We're in close contact.
Mm-hmm.
So how we fit in is we have such a broad mandate that I think it really plays well for this. One of the reasons that this epidemic has gotten ahead of everybody else is it distinguishes itself because it's also rural. For example, New York City doesn't, they're not changing a whole lot in New York City because they've been dealing with different epidemics for a long time. You know, but for us, you'll see there's very few grants out there, but all of them are focused on ramping up for rural outreach and education because the groups that traditionally do this aren't always in rural places. So Twilight meetings for us with farmers and getting this out to farms and farm workers is one of the avenues that people see across the state as being a big benefit to us getting involved. But we also do the prevention with, we have a lot of youth programs, the 4-H, heading off some of this and providing alternatives. And then the parenting classes.
Yeah, the parenting classes was huge. That was the... And I know that those classes were filling up rather quickly. Okay, great. Thank you.
I believe we put money aside last year for opioids, and we put like $100,000, or I don't remember what we put aside.
Yeah, I don't know where
it
landed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really wasn't on board
right.
with that yet.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
If we have questions, if anybody has a question that they want to ask, and just call in directly. No. I mean, we'll give you a call if you have any other questions.
Okay, please.
Thank you. We have the dispute resolution center, and my first question, of course, right up even for me to say anything, what happened to CASA?
happened to CASA? Well, we took CASA over in June as they were a standalone program, and it's kind of hard in this day and age for not-for-profit to be able to do everything on their own. So I was asked by the New York State CASA and along with the president of the board if the Dispute Resolution Center would take CASA as an umbrella agency. We also have CASA in Orange County and in Sullivan County. So we're, you know, a long time working with CASA. It's been in Orange County since 1984 under the Dispute Resolution Center.
So what changes?
What changes? They'll have support. We have a great finance and contract person. This is Nancy Canan. So they no longer have to do all of their billing and their budgeting and all that. Nancy does all that for all of our entire agency. We're a four-county agency. We're Orange, Putnam, Sullivan, and Ulster County. So we're, you know, very familiar with the county. We actually moved the CASA program into Aaron Court, a nice professional building. So they have a nice office. We're expanding database, you know, a lot of different things that we can do. We can we have a trainer who does the CASA training. We have a marketing person who's going to help market for volunteers. It's very hard to recruit volunteers, so you need somebody that's out doing presentations, where staff has a very hard time doing that if they're managing the program and overseeing the volunteers. So it's under totally different leadership and just for a lot of good support.
All right, so now you can explain what you do. I'm sorry I asked that question right on the bat. I mean, I was concerned about, you know, I noticed the change, and I was concerned with the change.
Right,
I know what
yeah.
CASA does, and, you know, like, I've been a very, very long advocate for CASA. And like,
certainly appreciate that.
No, because I know there's been times when they were talking about cutting CASA, which, I, you know, you know, really drove me nuts,
you know,
and where I had to,
yeah.
you know, because of the mindset of what you do.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think everybody knows what they do, I think. The
yeah,
court
they
appears.
Were here.
Yes.
And
then they changed the name. But so, in other words, and I understand, I mean, you just keep one kid out of a placement and it saves us $120,000 a year. So, I mean, it is really,
it's really
a big bang for the buck we get.
Definitely. And it's also a constant in a child's life, because when a child's in foster care or removed from their family, they have one caseworker for one thing, and then another caseworker changes, teachers change, counselors change, they're moved from one foster home to another foster home. Our CASA volunteers are the constant in their life. If they change foster homes, the CASA goes to that foster home. So they're there, hopefully until permanency is reached, whether it's for, you know, return to parents or free for adoption. It's a great program, and like I said, I started with the agency as a CASA volunteer, so I've been there, you know, for a very long time. So, and I think by us having the leadership with this CASA program, it's just been strengthening even more, because there's a lot more support.
So you do added things, because it's called the Speed Resolution?
Speed Resolution Center, yeah. We do conflict resolution and do mediation throughout all the counties. We have mediator volunteers that sit in all the courtrooms, resolving landlord tenant, consumer merchant problems. We do family mediation, we do parent youth. We're involved in Raise the Age. We do a lot of programs with the Department of Social Services, parenting classes, supervised visitation, coaching. We're a vast agency. We do a lot, and we're constantly growing. CASA has been one of the programs that's been with the Dispute Resolution Center in Orange since 1984. Sullivan was another standalone CASA, and I was asked also to take that one over in April of 2017. And we're getting that one, you know, strong. CASA and Ulster was a strong program. It was a strong program. Staff was changing all the time. So that's a problem. It's a problem for volunteers. It's a problem for the department, court, because they don't know who is doing the program. And unfortunately, there's no staff in there right now because the person that was there left. So we're interviewing, and we should have someone, you know, hired by the end of this week. So so we're just, you know, we're very happy to have the Ulster County CASA, and we're just going to make it stronger. But we do need help because we don't get that much funding from New York State.
Now, what is your request? I don't...
38,950.
Okay.
Same as last year.
Well, basically, yeah, basically it's the same as last year. Yeah, I actually called you because I was concerned about the change and wanted to know what that exactly was. And were you comfortable with that?
That's the only change. It's really going to be better for the program, but the program will run the same way. I've spoken with the department. I'm going to have a meeting with the judges to let them know that, you know, things are going to be the same as they want, because each county is a little different. But we're certainly going to be able to support the volunteers more and just help to make it a larger program.
Yeah, it's a big commitment for a volunteer.
Yes, it is.
It's almost like, you know, adopting someone.
It's a commitment.
It's a pretty big commitment when you volunteer for this. You know, it's, you know, you gotta, it's, you know, basically saints. And I know there's a lot of people that you've gotten have been unbelievably good. I mean, really,
dedicated.
I mean, the one person I think was, I remember I was talking to the one that used to run, the Children's Services, Social Services in Orange County, California. Now, just so you know, that person probably had more people working for her than everybody in our Social Services Department. You're talking Orange County, California, L.A., San, you know, where you're talking the huge cities. But that's type, you know, the type of volunteers they get. All right, very good. Anybody have any questions?
I do, and I apologize. I'm really
sorry. Oh, no. I want you to, hey, I want all the questions you can come up with.
I've never heard of this dispute resolution center. So, yeah, because it does. It sounds like a great tool and a great resource, but do you work through family court? Do you have programs that the judges send them to?
Yes.
Well, the CASA, the CASA is that.
I understand the CASA now, and that'll be under them, right?
Yeah, that's what they do, right? The judge gives
But that's
the,
only one thing under your program, right?
I'm sorry?
The CASA is just now...
It's just one program.
Okay, like what other services?
Okay, like I said, we do mediation. So family court, if you go to family court, and you're trying to work out visitation schedule, the judges send, you know, if they're willing, because it's all volunteer. You know, they can't mandate them to come to mediation. It's a volunteer process.
Okay.
They'll say, why don't you go try mediation?
Mm-hmm.
So they contact us. We do an interview. We have, and all of our mediators are volunteers.
Wow.
They're very well trained. They do a 32-hour basic mediation training. Then they do an apprenticeship. So, you know, and they're dedicated also. So we do a lot of family court mediation. And then we sit in the city of Kingston Court, and the judges will say, why don't you go try mediation before I hear this? And they'll resolve it, and the judge so orders it, and it's done.
When you say city of Kingston Court, are you talking like small claims court?
Yes.
Oh, wow, even that. Wow.
Yeah, we sit in a lot of the different courts throughout all of our counties.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, mediators, we have 55 volunteers for our four counties.
Now, where does the funding come for that?
From the unified court system.
Okay,
so that comes out of the court system, right?
Yeah.
And this funding is basically for the CASA program.
Yes, this is just for the CASA program.
Oh, this is just for the CASA
just
program?
For
CASA.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, certainly if you want to fund it, for But yeah, no, this is just strictly for CASA.
Okay, but still.
CASA has its own budget. You know,
it's like a branch.
Exactly, it's just a program. You know, most of our different programs have
You just make it easy. Now yeah, it makes sense. You make it easier because you do the payroll or you do the the budgeting, you know.
Exactly.
Buy the paper.
Everything.
Right.
Pay their rent.
Right, you got one, you know, so they don't have to have an employee doing that.
No. And that was a huge problem, which is why the director
Right, because you're talking about...
You have to do all this.
Right.
plus manage, you know, the volunteers and do reports and go to court. The volunteer can't go to court. I want the staff just to be able to work with the volunteers, the family, and go to court if they need to.
Very good. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. Any other questions?
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anybody who signed the land, you can get those.
Yeah, they're right there.
Alrighty. Now, I also got a request from you back.
Oh, yeah, he was going to come back.
Yeah, he said he was going to, because he didn't realize, and I know they've been on stuck on the same number for a very long time. He did request like 10, but his electric went up like 6. I mean, I would, I don't know if anybody has you want to talk about that one first. Would you entertain the 6?
An additional 6?
It's such a tourism driver that might be very
simple.
All right, so all those in favor of increasing the Bardamon, the UPAC, by 6,000, not the 10 that they requested, but the... No, we'll have a vote in the committee, and then when I go before the finance committee, I'm armed with the unanimous vote.
Okay.
All right, so you know
that... So it's a total of 16.
And those...
Their number would
and
be...
And usually the recipients change. Like, they don't usually get funded every year.
Oh, he's talking about UPAC came back to us for an additional 6.
Oh,
yeah. Well, they came back for an additional 10, I think it was.
Oh,
but
okay.
But their electric went up 6,
right.
And, you know, that wasn't pretty
the AC.
Big. Now, you know, it was from 18... to 28, I think they were requesting. So what I'm thinking is, you know, the 6 for the electric. You know, they gave us that number. We'll give them the 6.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Everybody's okay with that? All right.
Yeah, I think
so that would be an increase of 6, the equivalent of their increase in electricity costs. All right? And everybody's in support of that. All right, the next one would be, we have, we did the community action already, Bardamon. Now, Archbishop Hudson right now, they're requesting some $12,000 more. I mean, what we have been doing as Jim, because he's been on the committee, and Mary knows, we've been trying to increase them around 10% each year, trying to give them a little more because we're trying to get them back to the number that they once were at. But we don't want to do it all at one time. And they do a great job because, you know, we're not the ones that are having to make the decisions on what gets funded for these arts. It's being done by artists.
So
it's cool.
We give the money and then they award it to the
yeah.
They award it. Then once a year, they'll actually
yes.
have an awards thing. When
so
they
give
the awards,
money,
they'll let us know when you can show up at the
yeah.
awards thing, in fact.
Yeah.
It's really great when you show up at the awards thing.
Yeah,
because,
that's what he was saying.
Oh, yeah, you get to hand them the money out. And it's just, you know, and it's, I mean, everybody is so happy. It's such a great event. Really, after all,
when
you're,
do they award it?
They used to do it in the spring, isn't it? And I've been to most of them. I've been to the last. I don't think I went to the last when I was out of town. But normally I go to them. And in fact, I usually call up the guy Don. That was Don's name. He used to be the legislator from Woodstock.
Jonathan Heppner?
No, not Jonathan Heppner. Don.
That's really
Gregorius.
Yes.
Don Gregorius and I used to always stick together to try to get the more money for the arts. So I always would invite him and let him do his thing, you know, particularly he was sick for a while, so it made it even better for him. But, Jonathan Appleter, of course, is sort of what he does. What's that?
So I was wondering why you were calling him Don.
No, Johnny, yeah, that was the other one. All right, so what's your take on this one? What's up?
Was it the full thing or like 10%?
The 10% increase.
Yeah. All right, so the 10% increase would basically be about 7,000. Right? But so we'll do the other 10 that we've been sticking with.
Yeah, I'm good.
We'll get that back up to that number. So 7,000 for increased grants and such for the arts. Now, Cordell Cooperative, well, the dispute resolution is, are not asking for anything more. We actually pumped them up significantly in the past when they had a problem at one point with volunteers and such, and they haven't needed it, so, which is good. And now with them having somebody helping them out, it makes it even better for them. So, but like I said, all they do is CASA. They could keep one kid out of a placement. It saves us $120,000 a year. It's an unbelievable number what it costs to put a kid in placement. You know, you put them in one of those homes, you know, one of those detention places. They are crazy costs. And I think it might be even low with the 120 at this point. I know it used to be about 120, 125.
So what's the difference in what they're asking?
They're not asking for anything more, so I don't think we have anything with them. I think we'll just, you know, go with it.
Just make sure you fund it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna, so they be the funding would be just the same, so we don't need to increase that. All right, now we do have Cornell Cooperative. Now that's a significant increase. I know that they've requested in the past. Last year they requested $390 to save a 4-H program because the state was cutting them out of something. But I think they may have
right at the last minute they started the program and then they lost the funding. Yeah.
Right, they lost the funding at the last minute from the state.
But I believe they still found a way to make it happen.
Yeah, they adjusted somehow.
Yeah.
Right, but they want to run these. They're looking at running two new programs. And what is your, how do you want to talk about this?
Well, I'm just questioning if there isn't already organizations and groups doing this in Ulster County. And you know, should we be funding those groups?
Doing which one, though?
Addressing opioid issues.
That was my
take also. I don't think that there
also.
Is in these particular areas.
Right, right.
I think that there is a, you know, there's a big presence in dealing with it, but I think these are filling some of the holes.
Okay, well, that would answer my question.
Particularly,
yeah, my thought process was.
There are a lot of groups.
And the, that parent program filled up like instantly.
That was, no, I wish we could
and
increase that
I think they might even
program.
Have a waiting list.
They did.
Yeah,
yeah, they had that's a good
that's
program.
A program.
And that also will save money because those kids are in foster care.
But that wasn't what he was asking for the money for. He's asking to create a new position.
Two spots.
The water thing again, I don't know, Jim, I was having a hard time wrapping my brain around the opioids tying into Cornell. And by all means, that's something that's very near and dear to my heart, but I do feel that, you know, rural America, yes, they've been hit hard, but this epidemic does not discriminate. It's rural, it's urban, it's
right,
suburbia.
Right.
But I think the point of the rural was that there's a different way of approach it. They're trying to find a different way to approach it.
Yeah, the thing that I have a hard time with was he was lacking exactly how he was going to implement this new program and what it would consist of.
Right.
I like things that work off of evidence-based data that have a proven track record of working, and I spend a great deal of time working with the opioid epidemic. You know, and quite honestly, the state has funded this opioid epidemic at record amounts, especially in, you know, and even the federal government with it, you know, declaring it a high intensity drug trafficking area.
Right.
So, I mean, if we were to agree with this, he really didn't come to us with a program that he wanted to implement. I think the 30.
I think what he came, but I just kind of think that since he's new,
mm-hmm.
he didn't really know what to expect and how to present it. So I think he just kind of came with like an overview thing and didn't think about like that we might want more details
yeah.
or that we might.
If there was a program currently in place that they said, you know, we have this rural drug awareness program that we would like to implement in, you know, farm areas and whatnot. You know, it has evidence that it's worked in other areas across the nation. We would like to bring a facilitator here to the county. It would be something that I would be more willing to embrace. And I'm not by any means saying that, but like, if we're going to pay someone, you know, if we're going to fund a position to just kind of try to tinker around with the program, what tends to happen with these programs is everyone branches off and does their own little thing.
That's my concern.
A rope is made up of a bunch of strings, and we are much stronger when we're doing stuff together. So that's just my thought on that.
He's been listening to you.
Oh no, did he say that earlier?
I also would like to know.
Well,
we're
talking
something.
About a different. I believe that about everything.
Yeah, it's true.
But I am a strong supporter of Cornell,
mm-hmm.
what they do.
Right.
Sit on their board for quite a few years. Didn't understand when I started because I don't know anything about farming
mm-hmm.
or the things that we do. But I think with this opioid thing, right now, opioid is a key word. And right now, everybody and his grandmother is trying to come up with money to give to folks who are trying to do something opioid. So I feel like we reached out and grabbed something. We're gonna blend it into what we do. I don't have any problem with giving them money for programs that they're running already. I don't have any problem if you develop something and you come back and tell me you're going to need to run it. But I know that just about every hospital in our area, big ones, small ones, all over, is working on opioid programs, how to cut them down, everything. How to save people. So I would be inclined to keep on working. You've been working with the water. The water is something they've been working on for years.
Yeah, definitely.
Been working on cleaning up and making water systems better. So I'd be glad to give them money to help toward that program we're already working. I think with the opioids, again, you come back to us with a program that has been tried and tested, or at least sampled enough for us to say, okay, this is something we don't have. This is something that we need to support. I'd be glad to give them that. But at this point, I think we stick with the tried and true. They may need more money to do some of those tried and true things. If we give them more money for that, I believe that'll work for good for all of us.
So I feel the same way, unless it's proven that, Mary, you know, if there's gaps, if it is hitting farmers or the rural areas and no one is out there addressing it, then certainly, you know, let's give them some money to give it a shot. But kind of show me proof that that's the
case.
Along
those lines, I'd be interested in hearing what Carl Smith and Department of Health has to say on this topic. He said they've coordinated some with them. I'd be interested to hear maybe if the Department of Health has identified whether some gaps in coverage that Cornell
cooperates
particularly
and
well.
The state
we should
hands
do
down
it.
All of these
so
things.
I'd like to hear from that before.
This all comes through Oasis.
And I agree with, I mean, when I first was listening to him, I basically thought the same thing that, you know, you did. In other words, well, you know, I know we have an opioid crisis without a doubt. Everybody knows that. If you don't know that, you're living under a rock. But the point is, like you're saying, everybody's trying to, oh, we're going to come up with this and come up with that and trying to grab that opioid money. And, you know, I feel like I can't blame him for that. He's, you know, he's looking to try to put together something. But is it a repetition? Is it a... you know, coordination is like, and like you said, I'd like to hear from the health department them.
On this epidemic, it might seem like duplication in some senses, but it also might be good to have a little redundancy built in too. And just like I said, I think it would be really interested to hear whatever analysis the Department of Health has done.
Well, Heidi, do you have that relationship with, I don't with Dr. Smith.
I mean, we can call her up. I'll call her up.
Anyone could, yeah, and especially because he did touch on it, and I'm just gonna put this out here. You know, in working in this, I could see what this county needs. We need more beds in detox. we need more beds for transitional living, when after they go through detox and they've done their 90 days in rehab, they have very limited resources as to where to go from there. Those
right.
are the types
that's
of
how they easy you start again.
You know, yeah, and it's, you know, those are some of the areas in which if this county really wants to make a difference, those are the areas that we need to focus on. When you have someone who's ready to go into detox and their 18 beds at Health Alliance are full, there's a very small window of opportunity with this.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
We also need to start on the end where they're going to wind up.
And
the
beginning.
End. No,
prevention,
you know what I mean?
Is key.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to gear up in the next couple of years. We're going to lose an entire generation, unfortunately. I still have hope for recovery, but prevention is so key in this.
Right. But if we don't have things in place once they go through the process,
yeah, absolute support.
It's really been a bad, you know, there's no investment. The investment's lost.
Try not to hit Brian.
Sorry.
Sometimes I get mad at him. Maybe you can give him
do it quicker.
But, you know, it really is important that we look
so we all
past the moment.
Everything other than this is a little
but also,
we feel bad not wanting
but also
to
I'll reach out and find out some questions.
You gotta be smart.
But they are very, very
yeah.
valuable to the farm community, and actually, they're very valuable for the city of Kingston, Ellenville, particularly some of the population centers. They do amazing educational things, like you're talking about with the parents and things like that. They're amazing programs. They put together great stuff.
So
and not only that,
no,
but they
but just come back.
But they
back
also,
Smith.
I mean,
oh, yeah,
they leverage
exactly.
whatever we
but
give
also
them.
Talk to
Jeremy, they're leveraging three times that amount of money
exactly.
from that.
You know, like what
so in other words, if we give them $350, they're leveraging.
I think pretty good.
But we don't know. Is it evidence based? Anything that they have that they're connected with?
So my concern is the same as yours. I think the water is a really particularly. I know this year alone.
Algae.
I mean, the algae was unbelievable.
I mean, I know that's Florida, but it's
yes,
coming
but it's
here.
It's here, and I'll tell you what.
That's scary.
I could not. I mean, not you know, it's kind of a silly thing, but I could not keep algae out of my pool no matter what I did.
Did you have the pink algae?
I just kept on getting in. No, it was in green, but it just it was like almost impossible to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was constant.
It's dangerous.
It's green eating.
You know, or your pets. You can't kayak in it.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's something that I think, you know, they're going to be using programs that they're already dealing with the city, so they've got that experience, and they know what they're doing, and they're taking that and going off into the other areas of this county. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can support that without a problem, because I know that that pollution problem is getting worse.
Yeah, I
think the information part is nearly a part of every program. That's the need to avoid certain things is a part of the counseling and the growth. You talk about 4-H, what's healthy for 4-H. So you're talking about opioids, you're talking about those things. But I would think if there's something broader than that, then you need to identify it and come back to where this is a plan, is exactly what we want to do with it. But I'm when you talk about prevention, it's putting it in front and addressing it in everything that we do. Once it's happened, once it's in there, now it's treatment facilities that need to be working on. So I'm pro Cornell, so I give them the bucket
and that 4-H programs like that are help prevent opioids because you get these kids involved in things, and that's how they're not getting involved in other things.
Great. Yeah, it gives them something to do. It's great.
So there we
that's
go. So we support
that.
So I mean, I think we'll move on to one that it seems like there's a consensus that we support the you know, the river cleanup that they're attempting to do, or the studies and the things that need to be done with our rivers. It's definitely evidence-based. It's based on what they do, and they've done it forever for New York City, and they get funded from the city for doing that. But they're not, the city's not going to fund them for our other rivers that are not affecting our rivers or waterways, rather. So, I mean, I have a I mean, if anybody has a suggestion, should we just put that in for that part of it, support that program?
Yeah.
I mean, they're usually very good at what they're doing.
And I would be supportive of the other if you come back to us and say, that Dr. Smith said this is an important gap that needs to be filled.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, well, I'll get in contact with her. I'll give her a call, and I'll see if I can have a conversation with her about this.
I just have one other thing to add.
And if
I'm
you
so want to
call her
tonight.
Also, you know. Yeah.
The county, we just funded a family advocate, what was that, last year, the year before, that, you know, is supposed to be a one-stop shop for people with opioid and drug addiction that, you know, listed actually what he had said, you know, how to move through detox, how to get through rehabilitation. That was, yeah, I forget her name, she works with Cheryl DiPaolo down there in Aaron Court. That was a position that we just, the county adopted, I think it was last year or the year before. So, and that's been a tremendous resource for people in the county who need help, you know, figuring out where to find resources and whatnot. So, just saying that.
Okay, so let me get a vote on the water program. Everyone is in support of that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's full funded. And the other one, we will reserve judgment. If we're going to add that one, we'd have to have, you're right, if redundancy can be good at times, but sometimes it's just throwing money at something and...
Well, again, I like more.
So you're right. I mean, no, you're right on both of them. You know, could be, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not, and we need more information on it. Because none of us seem very comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Alrighty, so I think that's about it, right?
Yes.
I have one more thing. I was. What is the story with that dinner?
Now that
with the senior dinner.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that's coming up. That's next. It's the 17th, I think. Or. Next Wednesday? No, two Wednesdays from now, I think.
It's a Thursday, I think, the 18th?
Yeah, that's when it is.
So do we sign up to volunteer to serve dinners?
We have done that in the past. A lot of people go there and we just help out. So it's, you're able to do that, you can show up and then...
So we just show up to do it?
You show up, well,
you can
let them know that you'll show up to volunteer or,
okay.
In other words, they usually are very good at getting, the one thing about that one, a lot of the city politicians show up because it's in the city of Kingston, so as a result, a lot of people show up typically.
At the neighborhood center.
But I mean, there's a lot of people from outside also. You get all kinds of people showing up to volunteer.
So Bronx Express Band will be providing musical entertainment.
That is Thursday the...
Thursday the 18th.
18th.
4 to 5:30-ish, maybe? I'm not exactly sure. I know it starts at 4. It says it begins at 4 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And it goes to about 6 or 6:30, I think. I don't know how many big people they have signed up. I know in the past, a long time ago, they used to get that place you couldn't move.
It's usually a really good turnout there.
They used to get,
338-8750.
Actually, they used to get almost three times when they get down.
8-7.
They get about a couple hundred people showing up, but one time they get almost over 600 people jammed in that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it. That's but that was a long time. But they actually used to bus people in too. People would be bussed in from out of the area, but I don't think they do the busing like that. Yeah, they used to run the New Year's. Yep.
What, seniors?
I qualify. I go there every day.
They got good bingo there.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't gamble.
At the Murphy's House?
Mm-hmm.
The daytime.
Yeah, during the day. And tuna fish sandwiches. Don't ask me how I
I wanted to stop.
I
have great lunch breaks.
We have a motion to...
I'll make the motion.
To adjourn. Seconded?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Turn it off.